One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, friends. This week we're doing something a little different, and we are replaying an episode for you from our back catalogue. For those who haven't listened to all of our episodes, or for those who are new here, this is a way that we can highlight some of our favourite episodes, and this one is totally up there. We recorded this back in 2022, season 2, and it is with Joanne Love, who is from Love Beer Learning in the UK, and we did beer and chocolate pairing. Just in time for Mother's Day on Sunday, as well as Women's Month in general. Enjoy. Hello and welcome back to the Beer Ladies podcast, everybody. I'm Tandy and I'm playing host today. And we have got a very special guest that we will introduce you to in a minute. But first, we've got Lisa and Katie in the co-host chairs. And our guest today is Joanne Love. And you might know Joanne from Instagram and TikTok and Twitter and all the socials, and she's Love Beer Learning everywhere, and we'll get more on Joanne in a minute. But we've got something really cool, I think, and it's very fitting for Valentine's month. And what we're doing is we are pairing beer and chocolate. And I don't know about you, but I'd never really thought to pair beer and chocolate. You know, people always talk about food pairings and that, you know, and you think of chocolate with something like champagne or with wine, but never with beer. So Joanne has been experimenting with a lot of different beer and chocolate combinations. And so she suggested three of them for us today. And we are going to try some hopefully delicious and hopefully a few unexpected combinations, which will be super fun. So instead of going around the houses and doing what are we drinking, we're actually going to be doing three beers today, and we'll just announce what we're drinking as we go and as we do our pairing. Great. So let's get on with the show. But before we get into our first beer, let's just remind everybody, please, to like, share, subscribe, follow us, tell a friend, do all the things. We're at Beer Ladies Pod pretty much everywhere, and Beer Ladies Podcast everywhere else. And we're also on Buy Me a Coffee or Buy Me a Beer. So if you'd like to consider helping the podcast fund itself, that would be grand. You can donate as little or as much as you want. Righto. Okay. Joanne, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so
Hello.
Much for joining us.
Oh, thank
we
you.
We are delighted to have you. Now, if we're gonna start off with our first beer pairing, tell us your process of, you know, what you even thought about when you gave us suggestions for these beers, and then take us through the first pairing.
So because we're going to do a couple of different things, I wanted to pick things that, so we covered kind of all the main aspects of chocolate. So we've gone for a milk, we've gone for a white, and we've got a dark. Then we're running the gambit. I like to go across everything, because I like, with me, I'm one of those, I'm a beer drinker, I like to try everything. I want to try all the different styles, I want to try all the different flavors, and I feel like we should be doing that with chocolate as well.
Yeah.
Also, I'm a big lover of white chocolate and chocolate with fruit in, so I snuck a bit of that in there while we were at it. So we'll cover all the things. I hope you find something that you really enjoy. When I was doing all of this, that, like, there's going to be some unexpected things that come out of this, because as you said, like, normally when you think of food and beverage pairing, you're like, oh yeah, wine, yeah, that goes with everything. but nobody really thinks about beer. And there's so many different flavors and things that you can do with it. So why wouldn't you pair it with like all the things? So our first one. Yeah. So if you get, so people do think of beer and chocolate, I think you're going to automatically think about stouts. There are similarities between beer and chocolate, and stouts can often have that chocolate taste in them from the malt or from stuff that brewers have added. And they've got that bitterness. Like the thing about beer and why it goes well with chocolate is because both beer and chocolate balance sweetness and bitterness to create the flavors that you like from it. So that's why they go really well together. So our first pairing I suggested was a stout with a milk chocolate. Yes. So this is a nice, simple, this is kind of, we're going to go for almost a bit of a matchy-matchy pairing, because, you know, it's chocolate potentially with a beer that's got chocolate flavours.
So the equivalent of like double denim for beer and chocolate.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. That's what we're going for here. This is a super simple way of doing it. Like, that flavour is there, that flavour's there, they're going to go together because it's the same flavour. Let's see what happens when we do it. Okay. So I have got, rummage through the fridge to see what I'd got. And I found this oatmeal imperial stout from Wild Weather in the back of the fridge that I've forgotten about. And I was like, oh, let's drink that today. This is Sunday, so it's fun. I knew who I was this morning is from them. So
name.
Yeah, yeah. That's an Alice in Wonderland reference. So we've got that. And I've been sneaky with my chocolates.
Okay, so, tell us more.
So when I like to pick things, like in my beer school, when I'm suggesting things to people, I want to try and make it as accessible as possible. Mm-hmm. So I try and find, I will always advocate for you to go to local brewers, go to your local bottle shops, go to your local bars, get things from there. But for accessibility, if you're just getting into this, you can start by getting things from the supermarket in your regular shop. So you can just go down the chocolate aisle, see what they've got, grab a box of chocolates and give it a go. But you can also go to your local chain chocolate shop. So, you know, a Thornton's or a Hotel Chocolat. And then if you really want to step your game up, you can then go and find a local chocolatier. I was in the office for my day job. I was actually in the office in Canterbury the other day, and I went on a little trek and found this tiny little purple shop in the back streets of Canterbury called Madame Oiseau, and she's a chocolatier and she makes chocolates. So I have a little mix of everything on my table for you. So my chocolate that I've got with it, I've got a milk chocolate caramel. So obviously caramel is going to go well with a stout as well. And I have a milk chocolate praline, nutty with caramel as well. By the way, ladies, I know that you're fans of a brown ale as well.
Yeah.
Milk chocolate, yes. And praline is going to go really well. Ooh, with a brown ale as well, because it's going to pull out those nutty notes. So that's what I've got.
Awesome. Okay, so that sounds delicious. Yes. And that beer of yours, the name is fabulous. I love it.
It's brilliant. Oh, I'm excited for this one.
So Lisa, what have you got in terms of your chocolate and your stout, your milk chocolate and your stout?
Yeah, so it's interesting we're starting with this one, because I was saying before we started recording, I last did a beer and chocolate pairing 10 or 12 years ago, long time now, but exactly like you're saying, Joanne, everything was a stout or otherwise dark. There was no other sort of variation. And you can see why the thought would be, well, they all go well together. Of course they do. But I'm really excited to see these other pairings as well. But to start off with, I've got the Trouble Brewing Nocturne Milk Stout, so local for us here in Dublin. And I also do have a chocolate that comes from County Kerry. So all the chocolates I have are going to be from the same chocolate maker. So Brona, they are handmade Irish chocolates. These are wonderful. I'm going to start off with the milk chocolate with whole nuts. And so again, I love that idea with the nuts, bringing
that's
out that little bit of flavor there. But yeah, with the brown ale too, that would be really, really lovely. But big fan of these chocolates. I often end up ordering directly from their website, because in the part of Dublin I live, they're harder to get now than when I live just 2 kilometers away for whatever reason. But you know what? If I have to buy chocolate in bulk, it's not...
There's
not
the north-south divide of
North-south
Dublin.
North-south divide. But again, starting off with the Trouble Brewing Nocturne Milk Stout, which is a bit of a sweeter milk stout, but I think it'll be nice with the chocolate.
I like the idea of a milk stout, actually, with the milk chocolate. Like, I think that's going to be lovely.
Yeah, that's going to match really well.
Yeah. Katie, what have you got, friend?
So for beer, I have a Apex Oatmeal Stout.
Snap!
Hey! It's the same one from Wicklow Wolf. I got this. I got a... I'm actually using a lot of stuff that I got for Christmas today. It was in a gift pack that my sister gave me for Christmas, and I hadn't drank it yet. So I was like, yeah, this is the perfect time. And I remember reading somewhere, I don't think I've heard it since, somewhere on Twitter, that these guys, Wicklow Wolf, have now got an investor in the form of, is it Bono?
I think it is Bono.
Really? Or U2 or something. So I don't know what's going to be happening with them, but I think they're definitely a brewery to look for. These are a brewery in Wicklow, hence the name Wicklow Wolf. And I know one of their brews they do is they do their own hops, a bit like, we'll say, Ballycogavin or whatever. And every year they'll brew their own beer with their own hops. So that's the beer. The chocolate, I have two different ones. So I'm going to start off with Lily O'Brien's, which is in, can you see that?
Oh, there we are.
Yes.
There you go. So that's kind of very accessible in Ireland. It's in all of the supermarkets. And I just have like a milk chocolate heart. It's a bit of white chocolate in it as well.
That's delicious.
And that's also left over from Christmas. So I don't know how that survived, but it did.
Lovely. Okay, well, we've got the same beer, Katie. So clearly, oh, good taste. I'm just opening it there. So I've also got the Apex Oatmeal Stout, which I don't know what's going on with this camera view. There it is. All the blurring is making it difficult to see. Either which way. I went shopping for beer today, and I was actually really surprised because it is January. It's the end of January. We're still in the middle of winter, and that's the only stout I could find. Literally the only one that wasn't an imperial stout, and I wasn't really in the mood, to be honest. Like, I just couldn't be asked to do an imperial stout. But there was one imperial stout and one stout. And I was like, this is mad. There should be more stouts at this time of year. Come on.
Yeah, we've got plenty of cold to get through. It's still going to be chilly. Yeah.
We've still got February and March. exactly. But then for my chocolate, I've gone super basic because I just thought I was your person in Joanne, in your story of just going to the grocery store because I just went to my local Lidl and I got a milk chocolate bar, the extra creamy one because I like it better. But it's just a milk chocolate bar and so I'm going a bit plain, but very excited.
And I think the German supermarkets do lovely chocolate.
They do, you know?
Yeah.
I actually really like their chocolate, and it's a good value for money. And there's lots of interesting ones there too. You know, if you don't want just the plain ones.
Yeah.
I've got one of them for later. So Joanne, while we're pouring and just before we go and talk there, would you like to give us a very quick intro into how you even got into beer to begin with?
Yes, so I have quite an interesting background. So I've got a degree in costume for the screen and stage.
For those listening, we all made the surprise.
I get that reaction. I get that reaction every time. So that's what I did at university, and I was a professional wardrobe supervisor in theatre for 10 years. Most of that time, I spent working on cruise ships, So I ran the wardrobes for the production shows on there. And while I was doing that, I got to do some crazy things. I worked for Nickelodeon. Me and SpongeBob were really good friends.
That's so cool.
We did some charter cruises, and I worked for Kiss and got serenaded by Gene Simmons. I worked with some country stars. He's incredibly tall as well. Like, when he put, because they're like platforms, so he's like 7 foot tall once he's got his platforms on. He's ridiculously tall. And then there's little me next to him. I'm only 5'3". There are some hilarious pictures. I worked for, like, on while we were on the ships, I've worked for Cameron McIntosh and Andrew Lloyd Webber doing their shows. So did all that for like 10 years. Then decided I didn't want to live out of a suitcase anymore. So I came home, tried to get into the theatre industry in the UK. That didn't happen. So ended up going into design technology, teaching textiles, did a bit of food technology while I was there. But while I was on the cruise ships, I didn't drink beer, but we were on the cruise ships. They said that the crew could only have beer and wine. So when you were in the crew bar, and you spent a lot of time in the crew bar in the evenings because you weren't really supposed to be up in, you know, with the passengers, we were below the decks, you know. One day someone was like, I'm going to get a round in. I'm going to get beers. And I was like, oh, I don't drink beer. And they're like, well, try this one. And they stuck a Sam Adams Boston Lager in my hand because a lot of what we had was American.
It's a great
and I was like, oh, okay, fine. And I drank it and I was like, oh, this has got like, it's got actual flavour. Because, you know, when you're, you know, when you're at uni and whatever, starting out, often you're being given the macro lagers and they don't really taste anything. So that kind of just opened my eyes to what beer could be. Mm. And being lucky enough to be traveling to various different places in my job, I tried all the beers and just found a real love for it. When I came back here to the UK, at the time I came back, it was about 2014. So everything was just kind of starting to get out. I bought a lot of beers from supermarkets because that's what was available. Built up what I liked about beer. And I kind of got to a point where I was like, I think, like, you know, teaching about food as well. I was like, I want to know more about what's in my glass. So I started learning about that, learning about tasting, to the point where during lockdown, I'd heard about the Cicerone program and was like, you know what? Yeah. Got a little bit more time on my hands at the moment. I was lucky enough to work all the way through. I'd finished teaching at this point and moved, and now I'm an IT coordinator for a homelessness charity. So I've just got all these different things going on.
There's so many disparate stories. Yeah. There. you're a mosaic. That's what you are.
Yeah. I've got all these different like bits of skills for various different things. So was like, well, I've got a bit more time. Lucky enough to work all the way through, but had a bit more time at home and in the evenings. I was like, oh, you know what, I'm going to study for and take the certified beer server exam. So I did that, passed that in July 2020, and I'm still kicking myself. I've got two questions wrong. I got 97%. I'm still salty about it because when I looked at them, like, because at the end it tells you which ones you got wrong. Yeah. And one, I just read the question wrong because I was being quick. Oh, and the second one was, yeah, it was two beer styles that are almost identical. And I just 50-50 picked the wrong one.
Oh, no.
Still annoyed about it.
You should be patting yourself on the back for the 97% you
right,
got right.
97%. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I got 97%. I guess that's okay.
Well done. That's amazing.
Thank you. But so I got that and I was like, oh, what do I do now? What can I do with that? And after I'd kind of posted on Instagram, I'd got my little certificate and everything, I got a lot of messages from women that I talked to that also drank beer, and they were like, oh, like, how did you do it? And I don't know if I've got enough knowledge. And they talked about beer the same way I did. They did the same things. And I was like, you can do it. Like, you just, I was like, you know, just read some of these things, you know, get this in your head. There's some bits you definitely need to learn. But I was like, you talk about beer as much as I do. You have the same level of knowledge. You can do it. And I realized that women don't have as much confidence in themselves in that area as men do. And I was like, well, what can I do about that? I'm going to start a beer school so that I can help women be more confident about what they're doing. And so I started Love Beer Learning in probably about the end of August 2020. And I've been teaching classes online about beer tasting. We have a blog and a YouTube channel. While I was doing that, I met Tori, who is my co-host on our podcast, A Woman's Brew, the podcast. And we met online during lockdown, as I think a lot of people have, and we were talking about the same subject, like how women don't have the same confidence, they're like, they don't put their stuff out there as much, and she was just like, oh, I'd really like to hear women's voices on a podcast, why don't we do one? So we started our own podcast to do that.
So the podcast, you.
Yeah, you right see? You know, yeah. I know, you know. Yeah. You're like, right, you know what, we're just going to do it ourselves. So we started that. I started the beer school. We've taught beer tasting classes. I've been invited to talk about beer tasting at a festival. I've written some beer notes for breweries, and it's just kind of built up since then. And there's like, you know, it's my little side hustle, but I'm trying to make beer accessible to everybody. Like, I often get the question, oh, is it just for women? Oh man, can I join? Anyone can join Love Beer Learning's classes. You can listen to the podcast. You can watch the YouTube videos. You know, you can come give us a follow. Come watch me do silly things on TikTok, because I want to make it accessible for everybody and give everybody that confidence and to pick beers that you really like. And then pair them with amazing chocolate.
Put it back together. I love that. Although I really love the one you did the other day where it was like, what makes me a better beer taster than you? And you're like,
everyone's loved that one.
Oh, it's everyone's just so good. It was just so like accessible and empowering. Loved it.
That's exactly
for those who haven't seen that TikTok. So Joanne did one of those, you know, pointing at the things thing on the screen, except that she was pointing at nothing. So the question was, what makes me a better beer taster than you? She was pointing at nothing. And then she said, nothing. You know, we all just need the vocabulary. That's it. And exactly. I love that about your stance, because I think that you're completely right about women not having confidence. And you see it in the job space as well. You know, there's this, I don't want to say an urban legend, but there's this stat that goes around every now and then, and I'm not sure how credible it is, but women apparently only apply for jobs when they've met 100% of the criteria, whereas men will apply when they've met 60%.
Yeah.
And it's the way that I think we think differently. You know, we're so hard on ourselves. We're always striving for perfection, when actually sometimes you just need a little bit of, that's the word I was looking for. Because you, and I know you always say it, Joanne, but if you can taste it, it is there.
Yep.
You know, so it's just a matter of identifying what you're tasting and being a little bit conscientious about what you're doing, really.
Yeah. That's exactly what Love Beer Learning is about. Like, we're here to make everybody, like, just, you can do it. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't. You know what you're tasting. And if you think it's delicious, then enjoy it.
Yeah. Here. Speaking of delicious, should we try some chocolate?
Yes, this is lovely together, by the way. Yeah, really great. And again, even though it's the kind of, you know, I'll say basic one in air quotes, but just so good. There's a reason these two are the immediate ones to go together. Just really nice. Mm.
So is there a special way that we should be eating, drinking?
I've just put chocolate in my mouth and literally thought I needed to answer that question. So, good ways of doing it. I think you need to try a little bit of the beer, try a little bit of the chocolate, but then you kind of want to take a bite of chocolate, chew it up a little bit, but leave it on your tongue, and then wash it away with some of the beer. And then you're going to get a combination of those different flavors all together. It's not so conducive for recording a podcast.
But it does taste lovely.
Listen, this is just going to be great. A little bit of ASMR, you know. Why not? You know, I think I thought this anyway, but I feel like the chocolate, because it's really sweet, it makes the beer more roasty, more bitter. So it makes it less sweet itself, obviously, which is intuitive, right? That's what makes sense to me. But I like it because it means that the beer isn't as sweet.
Yeah. So one of the things when I was doing my research about beer and chocolate pairing is that they often say your beer should be less bitter than your chocolate. Now, I actually, this is like, which works quite for quite a lot of things, but I think milk chocolate and a stout go really well together. And it does that, like, you know, you're getting more of the roastiness from the stout and from the sweetness. You can do the balance the other way if that's what you want to try and if that's what you enjoy.
Interesting. So do you think if you had a dark chocolate with a stout, the stout would be sweeter?
Yeah, it would pull out more roasty. It would pull out more of that chocolate note in there. Mm. You'd probably get a bit of the sweeter, kind of creamier coffee that you get from things.
Okay, so now that we've had a stout and a milk chocolate, should we start talking about our second pairing? And then we'll ask you another few more questions there, Joanne. So tell us about the second pairing and how you came up with this
one. So the next pairing, I am, as I said before, I'm a massive fan of white chocolate. Now, chocolate purists are going to tell you that white chocolate isn't chocolate because it's not got any, it's not really got cocoa in it. It's cocoa butter with sugar. But I love it anyway.
Me too.
Now, white chocolate is very sweet. So you want something that has either got a bit more bitterness or a bit of acidity in it to balance out that sweetness. So what I found works really well with that is a fruited sour. You want one, like, you could, you can kind of go for a fruited lambic, but you don't want one of the ones that's really like sweet fruit. Mm. You need that bit of acidity to cut through the sweetness of the white chocolate. So I have got, this is called Spirit of Nature Yuzu. And it is from a brewery here. I don't know if they've got over to you yet, which are called Three Hills. They're quite up and coming over here in the UK, over here in England. And this is, so it's a yuzu sour. So they do like kind of a set of these, and they'll do a sour that's called Forbidden Fruit with the fruit. And then they kind of do a mixed fermentation version, which is their Ooh. Spirit of Nature. And this is the mixed fermentation version.
Yum.
Lovely.
Yeah. Wow. I'm excited. And then I've got a little bar of white chocolate there. But also, when I went to my chocolatier lady, she does white chocolate with lemon cream. Ooh, so I've lovely. Got a little one of those as well.
Yum.
So yuzu has that lemony quality to it, if you've never had yuzu. So I think these are going to go pretty well together.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Oh my gosh, white chocolate and lemon is a match made in heaven. Right. Katie, what have you got, friend?
So I'm not big into my fruited sours, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
So I feel like I've kind of done my homework, but I haven't really. So instead I have a grisette.
Ooh,
so
nice.
I'm hoping it's that'll got a bit of farmyard in it so that it will yes. work. This one is from Whiplash, I Feel Space. And then for my chocolate, I went to my local chocolatier. So in Maynooth, there is a little cafe on the main street called L'Art du Chocolat. It's French. It's set up by two French people. And I have, let's see if you can see this, Dulce Sesame Seed.
Ooh,
so it's yum. White chocolate yeah. and Sesame Street. But what I love about this cafe, and I could spend hours in there, you go in and they make the most amazing hot chocolates from their chocolate. It is delicious, like caramel hot chocolate, white hot chocolate, milk hot chocolate, dark hot chocolate. You can sit at the back and they have like a big window and you can see into their chocolate workshop where they're making, doing all their mixing or whatever, putting them into molds. And you just go into a trance and watch the people work. So L'Art du Chocolat in Maynooth, I highly recommend it.
That sounds like a nice combo with the sesame seeds. Yum.
Yeah, I'd never seen it. So I was like, I'm looking for some white chocolate. And she says, well, this one is white chocolate with Sesame Street. So I was like, oh, I'll try it.
Sesame Street.
Sesame Street. It's only my second beer. I haven't even started it yet.
That's awesome. I think grisette is great.
Yeah. If you're not really into sours, then another thing that I found works really well with white is like a wit beer, because you're getting that orange and the spice goes really well with it. So I think the grisette's going to go, oh, I love a grisette. I think that's going to go really well. The Belgian yeast spiciness, I think it's going to go with that perfectly.
Delicious. Good choice, Katie. Lisa, what have you got?
So I have the Brewmaster Dundalk Bay Brewery Getter Brewed Limited Edition Collab. So it looks like they've collabed with all these various people, but it's their mango and passion fruit sour. But again, like, you know, otherwise kind of very, you know, almost traditional sour, you know, 3.8%. So we're kind of in a Berliner Weiss-ish zone somewhere. But I've got that paired with the Brona, white chocolate. And I'm also one of those people who thinks white chocolate is massively underrated. When you get a good one, it's just so good. But yes, it can be very sweet. So I'm looking forward to seeing how these go together, because I think there will be a nice little sort of bite to it. So very excited.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so I've got a White Hag Puka. So that's the dry hop lemon sour with berry, hibiscus, and ginger. Oh, Christ. Anyway,
it's gonna be great.
But I think that's going to be lovely. And I think because of lemon, and because I love lemon and white chocolate, I think it'll be lovely. And I've just got, again, the plain old white chocolate from Lidl, supermarket variety, but I'm very excited for it because it is delicious. All right. So let's see how this one tastes, Joanne.
Yep. The Lidl.
There we go.
The little hot chocolate, white chocolate is absolutely divine. I really, really like that, I must say. While you're all trying it, you know, and going, I said I'd chat.
This is so interesting.
Oh, that's really nice.
So that acidity is going to cut through the sweetness, but the sweetness of the white chocolate is going to bring out like the funkiness and the tartness of whatever fruit's in there. Like I like, if you're not sure kind of what I'm talking about when I say that kind of thing, think about like a vanilla or white chocolate cheesecake with a fruit coulis added on the side. Like that tartness you get from that coulis just kind of lifts the sweetness of the cheesecake. And that's exactly what we're doing with this beer and chocolate pairing.
That's really
this is a fantastic combination.
Yeah, love this idea. I once had a white chocolate with lavender in it. Now that would be interesting to pair with. You'd have to get just the right thing. You wouldn't want to too unbalance the flavors, but I think if you got just the right thing, it'd be really interesting. That's really nice.
And it works so good with the grisette as well. And I must
Yay.
Say, the sesame seeds in this are actually delicious.
That can only be delicious. It just sounds amazing.
It's so good. And they work so well together.
I am thoroughly impressed. I feel like now I'm going to drink so many more sours, and white chocolate is literally my favorite
chocolate.
And those chocolate purists who tell us it's not chocolate can just jump into the sea, honestly, because white chocolate is delicious. But this is fantastic. Oh, I'm such a fan.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have thought of it. It's such a sort of you know, out of the box pairing, but it just makes sense when you think about, you know, kind of the flavor chemistry. You're like, oh, of course, but you know, unless you try it, but, you know, it's not top of mind, but it's really lovely.
Oh, it is lovely.
I just love it. I'm a massive fan of white chocolate. I'm a massive fan of fruity sours. I was like, this is the perfect thing.
This is a great one. Oh my gosh. Okay. So while we're busy savoring and enjoying this combination. So Joanne, how has your beer school gone? You know, what are you finding in terms of the women that come into beer school? What are their biggest things? What's holding them back?
I think it's like, we all know hoppy and malty, but what do hoppy and malty actually mean? Because there's so many different types of malts, there's so many different types of hops, and you know, your German hop is going to be very different from your American hop. So just saying, oh yeah, this beer's hoppy, that's not going to explain anything to anyone. So I like to do in my course, build your beer vocabulary. Well, slide that in there nicely.
Absolutely.
We do, and this is something that I learned through my journey and that I found really useful, so I wanted to share it with other people. We all have different experiences of food and our cultures and our backgrounds. Like, we've all got all these different things, but we all know food. We may know different types of food, but we can equate flavors in food fairly easily, or we can go get that food and try it and then add that to our flavor vocabulary. So one of the things I do is I do sensory exercises. So we'll do a lesson on hops. We'll have a little chat about, you know, what hops are, do a basic overview. But then I'll be like, right, you need to bring a variety of citrus fruits, a variety of tropical fruits, and you're going to taste them, and you're going to smell them, you're going to eat them, you're going to, you know, or you're going to juice them and smell or taste the juice. And you then know how you are going to pick up lime or lemon or pineapple or grapefruit, because you're like, okay, it's calibrating your palate to say, this is how I recognize that fruit. Or then we do malts. And so malts is a fun one, because you then end up with a plate of like bread and nuts and chocolate and some coffee to smell and honey and all the tasty little nibbly things that you just want to eat. Plate full of those, because we all taste things differently. And the person next to you can say, oh yeah, well, I'm getting loads of grapefruit from this. But when you smell it, you might be like, oh, is that grapefruit? You might not pick up grapefruit in the same way. Like I'm terrible. If I've got a beer that's got Mosaic hops in it, it smells like broccoli. But I know when I smell a beer that smells like broccoli, I'm like, oh, there's Mosaic in that. So it's how you pick up those aromas and flavors. So by doing that sensory exercise, you know that that's how you pick up that particular flavor. And then you can use those words we all understand, because we all understand food words, to describe your beers. Once you can describe your beers with words that other people will recognize as well, then when you go, oh, I want, you know, I really like a beer that's grapefruity and piney, then people go, have this one, because that's what it's got in it. And then you can pick beers that you're going to enjoy every time. Mm. So that's what we do.
Have you found that people coming onto your course have found beers that they love because they are now paying attention to different styles of beer?
We do on my, so my course kind of starts you off with that understanding more what's in your glass. The next step is then my beer membership, which is the Beer Tent Society, and we look at a different beer style every month. My members in there will get together monthly for a live tasting, and going through that, like, I've got one of our members is like, he's Scottish, he's got like, there's particular beers that he's drunk over and over and over again, and I'm like, this week we're going to drink Gers. This month, go get yourself some Gers. And he's like, oh, and he's really good, he goes and gets them, he's like, oh, okay, and he comes and he does and he drinks them, and I, he was just like, oh, so, no, I had a Gers when I first started drinking beer, and he was like,
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It really made me stop drinking beer. And I was like, let's try again. We're going to try again. So we got the Gers out. We talk about the history of it, why it takes, like, we go through the BJCP style guidelines, what we're supposed to expect in the glass. And then we'll taste a couple or three or so. I tend to like three so we can compare and see what differences there are. And we'll try them together. And at the end of the Gers episode, he was like, I actually like these. It's not made me want to stop drinking beer. So it's about, yeah, it is about finding those different things. And because people, like, if you're going into a bar, you might just be like, oh yeah, I like pale ales, I'm going to get the pale ale. You might not have the confidence to try that new beer. So by trying these different ones every month, well, he doesn't like brown ales.
Fucking, I don't trust him. That's,
I know, I was very disappointed. He didn't like brown ales. Couldn't get behind that. But that's it. Now he knows. He's just like, I don't like brown ales, I'm not going to try anymore. I might try one every now and then, but I know that I'm going to pick this beer over whatever else is available. So it's good. It's how you learn what you like.
I've always just thought that there is a beer out there for everybody. And 100%. I think you just have to find it, you know. There is something there for everyone. There's so many beer styles that you can't not. Surely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, man, this sour and white chocolate, this has changed my life. Oh.
I'm just sitting here. munching away. It's like, am I on a podcast right now? Am I supposed to be saying stuff? Sorry, I'm totally distracted.
Just enjoying the afternoon.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know, this is great. Oh my gosh. Okay, so what are we going to do for our third pairing then?
Right, so I left this one to the end because this one's got the most intensity. So as well as thinking about matching flavors and about kind of flavors that will go together or will cut through each other, you are going to want to match intensity. So I have got a 70% dark chocolate. This one's just from Tesco's, but it's got lime and sea salt in it. Now, a very rich, dark chocolate, you're going to want to pair it with an intense beer. And it turns out that dark chocolate with salt or spice goes really well with an IPA.
That is mad.
It's mad. And I read that and I was like, that can't be right. And I tried it with just a lint bar of dark chocolate with salt. And I was like, oh. Because when you add salt to something, it just lifts it. And if you've got spice, that's going to pair really well with the intensity of the bitterness that's in the beer from the hops. So my beer is from Liquid Light, who are in Nottingham. It is a husband and wife co-owned brewery, and they do, we are now friends with Grace from Liquid Light. We love her. She's great. She started something called Smash the Pintriarchy, which was a zine to help amplify women's voices in brewing and in beer. She's working on trying to get that out to different places. So look up Liquid Light and look up Smash the Pintriarchy. And this is their green tambourine. So all of their artwork is done with like the 60s, lava lamp type art. Cool. With the oil paint in water. And at their tap room, they have this kind of art actually happening, and it's projected on the walls.
Oh, cool.
While you're there.
Wow.
So fun. And it's like she's kitted out, they've kitted out their tap room. It's in like one of those little industrial estates, like all the little breweries are. But she's kitted it out with stuff, and she says that she likes to think that it looks like your grandma's living room. Because it's just like cabinets with like weird trinkets and lava lamps and things on. And it's just so like 60s living room with the art going on in the walls. And they just make amazing beer. So this is Green Tambourine. All of their stuff is also named with music in mind as well.
Love it.
And this is their Mountain IPA, which is a combination of West Coast and East Coast IPA. So I think this is going to be really interesting with my lime and sea salt dark chocolate.
Combination of West Coast and East Coast.
Yeah,
lots of late dry hopping or late additions, but also lots of early additions.
It says it's a combination of juice and resin with a crisp finish.
Hmm.
And they brewed the beer with brand new wet yeast strain Gen 1 from their friends at Murphy & Son. So I think that's going to be interesting.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay, so IPA with dark chocolate with either salt or chili, or spice. Okay,
yeah,
so Katie,
spice.
What have you got?
So my IPA that I have is New England IPA. It's a Glantian from White Hag, who are based in Sligo. And I'm wondering if this year there's going to be a Hagstravaganza that we can all go to.
Oh, maybe not.
And yet again, I've done my homework, but not very well. So I have.
There are no wrong answers. No wrong answers.
I have
nice,
dark.
Fine.
I got dark chocolate from L'Art du Chocolat, but they didn't have any salted or chili dark chocolate. So I'm just going to have to work with that. I have salted milk chocolate, which I don't think is going to work. Okay, so I'm an experiment, right?
Try both. Yeah,
yeah.
Try both.
Exactly.
Which one you enjoy.
Or you could also get some sea salt flakes. That might be interesting too.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yum. Okay, yeah. So Lisa, what have you got? What have you got for your pairing?
So I have the Metalman Brewing Heliocentric Orbit, which is their Session IPA. But the thing I love about this is while it's lower key ABV-wise, it's got a real punch to it from a kind of hop bitterness perspective. And again, I love And thank goodness more and more brewers are doing this. They tell you exactly what hops they have on it. And I'm like, thank you.
I love that.
Exactly that you can know, like, I like that, I don't like that, or I prefer X or Y when they're together. So love that it's, you know, it's got some Eldorado, it's got some Citra, and it's got a real, you know, again, for a beer that is, you know, 4%, it's got a real punch to it. So I'm really looking forward to trying this with my Brona salt and chili. And again, this is something we go through a lot of this in our household. It is a delightful, really, really good. And I'm going to say spicy. Let me see. What's a nice way to say this? And Katie, keep me honest. It's spicy even for Ireland, if you understand what I mean. So it's one where I'm like, oh no, this still actually has spice. So thank goodness it's really good. So really curious to see how these two blend together.
Totally. The Irish palate was raised on potatoes. So it's like anything slightly spicy. Oh, it's too spicy for me. And it's like people coming from other countries who are used to a bit of anything, any flavor. Like, no, it's not. Come on.
Friend of the podcast, Paul, once said, you know, Ireland, where mayonnaise is considered spicy. And this was like, yep.
Yeah, totally.
It's actually very funny. So Joanne, maybe it's a good thing you're not drinking my beer then, because I have a Mosaic IPA from
It would definitely, like, it would taste okay, but it would definitely smell like broccoli to me.
Yeah. So I actually love Mosaic. It's one of those hops that I really am drawn to. Whereas, funny enough, like Euconaut, which was called Equinox before, Euconaut I hate. Tastes like green pepper. It's just awful.
It's like green pepper. Yes, yeah, me
totally.
Too.
Totally.
Yeah.
So weird. Like, I avoid it if I can. I've had one or two beers where it's clearly the minor edition as opposed to the major edition, and then it's okay. But jeepers, not a hop that I like. So I've got a Mosaic IPA from Whiplash. It seems to be a new one, Electrobank, and it's got Maris Otter, oat malt, wheat malt, which I think is very standard for Whiplash, and then Carapels and Mosaic. So it's a single hopped IPA, which I think is very cool. Okay. I like that idea. And then for my chocolate, I've got good old little salted dark chocolates. I think it's like a 60 or 70% cocoa content, and it's got salt in it. I've had this chocolate before. It's lovely. So very excited to see this intensity. Oh, open that up. Had some ASMR in your ears. So Joanne, if you're looking at pairing beer and chocolate, do you start with the chocolate or do you start with the beer?
I think it depends on what. It depends. It can be either. Like, I think if you're really just starting out and you're not really sure where you want to go, get some chocolates that you like. Get a mixed box of chocolates. Grab some beers that you like and just try all of the things all together and see what you really like. Like, that's the easiest way of doing any kind of food and beer pairing, is grab some beers you like, grab some chocolate, snacks, cheese that you like, and just try them and see what works for you. Because there's all, like, you know, can be all these rules and things about it, and you can read about it, but at the end of the day, it's what you enjoy. And you might enjoy something that isn't, you know, on the list, air quotes. So give it a go. With these, because I wanted to give you a range of things, I picked the chocolates and then paired styles with it from there. But you might have particular beers that you really enjoy that you want to have if you're going to do a tasting of them with friends, family, loved ones. And so then you can go, like, think about what pairs with those well. Or it might be what you can get hold of. Like, maybe you want to do it from a local brewery and it's whatever beers they've got, and then think about what chocolates pair with them. I finally got into my beer, into my chocolate. It's very well packaged.
Yeah, I was thinking about earlier, as I was at my off license, and I was looking at one of those imperial stouts, and it might be lovely, but for me, where they'd thrown literally every ingredient you could in it. Like, there was coconut, there was orange, there were, you know, all these other things. I was like, it might be nice, but how do you pair that with anything? It was just so many different flavors.
Things.
So I was like, but there may be one thing that's just a great, perfect pairing for it. But I was like, maybe another day. I'm not going to try that one today, but it was, I don't know, it was just like a, you know, a conundrum. What do you do with it?
This is delicious.
So sometimes it works really well, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I picked the best beer. So I think because it's this West Coast, East Coast mix, I think it needs more fruitiness with the with the bitterness to work really well with the chocolate. But this is another thing, like you can be like, oh yeah, we'll try that together, and then maybe it doesn't quite work, so then try something else. I think this would have been better with possibly if it had, I was hoping I had an IPA somewhere that had a hop in it that had a bit of like lemon and lime in it. Well, I didn't have one in the fridge, so I went with this one. But because it's the lime, because it's got the lime and the sea salt in it, but the dark chocolate works quite well with the bitterness in the beer. So that's, you know, sometimes it doesn't quite work, and that's okay. Just try a different beer with it. I did it with cheese. I tried it because there's a big thing, like everyone's like, oh, stout with blue cheese, that's amazing. It's like dessert. So I tried it and I grabbed whatever stout I had. And the stout that I had, when I'd first had it, it was quite chocolatey. But I got one that I'd held on to for a couple of months and I hadn't drunk it yet. And it had actually, the flavour had dulled down to a bit more coffee. And that didn't go so well with blue cheese. So sometimes, it wasn't as good. I think you need like more, you need that intensity. And it was more of a stout than an imperial stout. So I needed something with a bit more oomph to it to really go with the strong flavours of the blue cheese. So, you know, sometimes it might not work, but that's okay. That's why we're tasters, to see what Absolutely. We like and what we don't like.
And still sold on the idea of this brewery. It sounds phenomenal. I'm like, oh, weekend trip. We could all, when it's safe to do so again, fly over and have a lovely, lovely long weekend to all the kind
yeah.
of
area. In yeah. Nottingham. It's amazing. Mm.
More and more places to visit. Speaking of, how are the COVID restrictions lifting where you are, Joanne? You're in Canterbury, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, I'm in Canterbury. So the other day, they decided we didn't need to wear masks anymore. People are still wearing masks. I'm still choosing. Yeah, you can still wear a mask if you choose to. I'm still choosing to. It's. I think we're opening up a lot more. Working from home has stopped. It was literally tomorrow working from home is going to stop. So yeah. It's interesting.
does it feel as if things are changing as suddenly as they did when we first went into the pandemic?
I think now we've got more of an idea about it, but I think I don't know if there's enough of a good balance between being too tight and being too open. Like you've been able to go to a pub or restaurant since before Christmas. They decided that you couldn't have office parties, like you couldn't get together and eat food in your office, but you could go to the pub with loads of strangers, which didn't make any sense to us. Like my team had decided that we were going to do like a pizza lunch in the office. We got COVID secure office, like our risk assessments and everything. It's really, really robust. We were going to do that. Then they said, no, everyone's got to work from home again. So we couldn't do that. We weren't allowed to do that. But if we'd have chosen to, we could have all gone to the pub down the road with loads of strangers and just sat there and had our Christmas thing. We chose not to because we were all very cautious about that time just before Christmas. And I think there's kind of a, yes, hospitality's had a really hard time of it. We do need to support those, but then they don't think about that because then they go, oh, think about where you're going and choose carefully. So then people go, oh, actually, I'm not going to do that quick right. pub trip. So then hospitality gets hit again, but it's not, but they were like, oh, but we didn't tell people not to go to the pub. We didn't do it explicitly.
So they implied it. Yeah.
But you've implied it that they shouldn't be doing casual pop into the pubs because that might be where you get COVID. So yeah, it's interesting.
Well,
support your locals, everybody.
Yeah, just do that. I got to the pub for the first time since lockdown yesterday, my local pub, and it was actually just lovely to sit in a pub in public and have a draft. Like that was great. But yeah.
Like you don't realize how much you miss a draft beer until you go and have it again for the first time, because you're like, it's fine, I've got beer, I've got bottles, I've got cans, blah blah blah, but then you go and have like an actual draft beer and you're like, oh yeah, this is remember why I enjoy that feeling. So much right
totally.
No, totally
but I mean you during some part of the lifting of restrictions, Joanne, you went to a beer fest recently-ish. which for me seems foreign at this point because we just haven't had beer fests for over 2 years, just about.
Yeah.
So how was that? And I know you're looking forward to more beer fests this year.
Yeah. So I managed to go to a few last year, actually. I was quite surprised. The first one I went to, I think, was May, maybe. It was quite early. Our restrictions got lifted in about April, end of April. And I think, it must have been June, early June, I think. But it was a camping beer festival. Oh, okay. So it was all outside. So that was really nice because there was lots of space. You felt like if you were in a situation where there was too many people, you could get away. They were really good about it up until the last night. And then so it was music and beer festival. And the beers were under kind of open tents. And that last night, everyone was crammed into where the beers were. All and right. I there was one tent that was quite quiet and another that was just full of people. And I'd popped over to see someone that I knew on one of the bars. And then I went, I'm going, no. No, I'm getting out of this situation because people were really close. And you're like, you are too close to me still. I don't want you that close to me. But there was space for you to be able to do that. I then went to one in London that was inside in the summer. There was more people there than in the space than I expected, but it was okay because I think I'd just been to the theatre.
Oh wow!
And that was the weirdest. The first time I went to the theatre. So we've been to the theatre a few times, and they had it where they had spaces between each group.
Oh right.
And our local theatre had actually made little cardboard people.
Oh really?
That they sat in the seat, so they still looked like they had a full. Full That's audience, amazing. And they'd got some local artists. Yeah, it was really fun. They'd got a local artist to paint actual celebrities. So there was all these. There was a Shakespeare and a Queen Elizabeth I, and then Paul O'Grady and all these random people just sat in the audience. I got I was sat next to Mick Jagger, in your seat, and that was quite nice because you were okay, yeah, we've got our little space, and there's supposed to be other people, and then we went. A couple of months later, and because it was after, it was nobody needs masks indoors anymore, everything's fine. And there was somebody sat right next to me, and I was, and they're their elbow touched mine, and I was this is weird because it has been the first time in about a year and a half that I'd been that close to a stranger. I didn't even get that close to people at work that I knew relatively. Quite well, but not, weren't family. And this absolute stranger was sat right next to me, and I was this is weird. And I literally sat there and went, am I comfortable with this? Because then you look around the theatre and you're there's all these people in. No one's wearing masks anymore. Because me and my dad went in with masks, and then we were okay, nobody's wearing masks, so we feel weird. We're going to take it off. No one was wearing a mask. And I was am I actually comfortable with this? And I was right, so I either get up because I'm not comfortable with it and not get to see the show, or I deal with it and see the show. And I was I'm in my seat now, I'm just going to deal with it.
Yeah,
you're there. I really want to see this show. I'm I'm here now. To be fair, if I'm going to get it, I've probably already got it. So that was really strange. But after that, you kind of you have got to acclimatize yourself to it.
Yeah.
And still now, walking, the streets are getting more busy, working in the city centre. There's still a lot of people, and they're still you're too close to me. I've got really used to you being far away. Please stay far away.
Yeah. And there are some things that I'm why can't we keep these? Why can't we keep table service? People can go to the bar if they want, but let's keep table service, things that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was a big debate on that in one of the beer groups. And people that were proprietors of pubs and things were no, it's too expensive, we have to get more staff on, we haven't got enough money to pay people as it is, we've got to do that. And but a lot of consumers preferred it, so then you've got to weigh up, if it's more expensive, I can understand that's difficult, but if it's what your consumers want, where do you draw the line?
It's really strange, because coming from South Africa, where table service is the standard, it was strange to me to come here and it not be the norm. So now during COVID, when everything became table service, I was like, oh yes, this feels much more comfortable. This is much more familiar to me. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with this.
Although equally, it's nice when you're like, oh, my glass is empty. It's nice now just be able to get up and be like,
Yeah.
One more, please. Yeah. But again, that's exactly my last, like, oh, I just want to get back to going to the theater again. I've seen two shows since we've come back, but it's not enough because I'm a big theater nerd and I want to be out and see things. So soon, I think. More is coming, but that'll be we'll know we're kind of back to normal-ish when I can, you know, go to a regular pub before, go to the theater, and then it just feels normal. We're not quite there yet, but that's going to be my kind of litmus test.
My litmus test, I think, is going to be when the homebrew clubs start meeting up again.
In person,
In person. Yeah. And Joanne, I know you're also a home brewer. So have you brewed anything recently, and what are you brewing next?
So I haven't brewed anything recently. I did quite a lot like the first year of lockdowns, like 2020, I did a lot. Then I started Love Beer Learning and it was like, I have like no time. I'm just constantly working on stuff for that. Yeah. I managed to get a few brews in. I think the last thing I brewed, we did a homebrew version of Brave Noise.
Oh, beautiful.
And I got Tori, my co-host on A Women's Brew, the podcast. She came to my house. She'd never brewed before. So I was like, right, your first one, let's do a Brave Noise beer because that just works for everything. So we did that and she learned how to brew. It was really funny. The sparge took, because I just do a five litre batch in pots on my kitchen stove. Like mine's really small. I was like, right, so you're gonna do the louter and the sparge. Like I was like, that's the bit that takes forever. So you're gonna do that. Like when you go do a collab at another brewery, they're like, you're the visitor, you get to clean out the mash tun.
Right.
If you visit with me and you're going to brew with me, you got to do the sparge. That's because it's lots of lifting up the grain and tipping water and stuff through it. That took her an hour. My longest usually takes me about 30, 40 minutes for like a heavy stout. This is just a pale ale, and it took, because she didn't want to lose any. And I'm like, you're going to lose some. It's fine. You're going to make a mess. It's absolutely fine. But so we brewed that. That's come out quite well. We've drunk it together, but we are going to a Brave Noise brew with a commercial brewery next month. Spoilers. So we're saving it to take with us there. I haven't brewed anything since then, but I have one in the works in February, because where I'm very small, I haven't really got proper temperature control. So if I want to do a lager, I have to do it in February, because then I can put it in the shed because then it's really cold.
Hope it's cold.
Because it's cold enough, like if it gets a bit too cold, I just wrap some blankets around it, it's fine. There's gonna be some homebrewers that are like, no, it comes out fine,
calm down. Exactly.
But I have a plan. I have a plan to do an Oktoberfest that I then want to bottle and leave until like September, October time. And I have just been doing my studying for my certified Cicerone training, and we were learning about decoction mashing, and I've heard about it and I was like, oh, that sounds really, no, it sounds complicated, but learning about it for that's really kind of broken down the steps of it, and I was like, I could do a decoction mash on my Oktoberfest and see how that goes. You know, it's only a 5 litre batch, so I'll probably just have the decoction bit in a saucepan. So that makes it a lot easier. So I'm gonna give that a go, try for a richer multi flavor on my Oktoberfest and see how it goes.
Sounds awesome. I mean, I think decoction mashes, so for those who don't know, decoction mashes when you almost double mash with your grain. So you take out the initial mash, you reduce it down further, and you kind of mash again. And guys, feel free to jump in if I've gotten it all wrong, but it develops a more rich, more multi flavor. And some people use it even for pilsners and lagers. You know, it's not just for really rich malty beers. It can be for like a lot of different kinds of beers, stouts, for instance. So it develops something really complex and rich, and very well known in the Czech and German breweries, if I'm not mistaken. Very much a thing. That honestly just sounds like a complete faff to me, but I'm sure it's worth it. I'm sure
when I was reading about it, I was like, that sounds like a lot of work. But I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get like, it's gonna add time onto my brew day, which is already like 4 hours. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna do it once and see what happens. And then I'll just be like, that was a lot for like, hopefully there'll be a good payoff. Yeah. If there is, then I'll be like, yeah, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
You got to
try it. But I like the fact. Yeah. Yeah. I like the fact that you do 5 liters. Sorry, Katie. I keep going over you there.
Oh, no. I was just saying, report back to us on whether we should bother.
Yeah. I will.
Absolutely. But I really like the fact that you do sort of 5 liters at a time. You know, when I get my kit out, I'm generally doing like 20 liters. So it feels like something I really need to kind of plan and do. And then it's a day, you know, it's not even actually 6 hours of my time, but it just feels like a day. So it's, but I think
we even have a 3 liter kit for really experimental stuff. So yeah, that's a nice thing to just
Cool.
You know, burn it up and see what happens.
Found some, like, she was on one of like the Facebook marketplace or something, and she was like, oh, someone near me's got some some bottles and things that they don't want anymore, do you want me to grab it? And I was like, oh yeah, cool, like thinking it was like, you know, a couple of demijohns and hands in the bottles. I ended up with like boxes full of glass demijohns and like crates of bottles, like some of it I've palmed off on other homebrewers. I was like, can I get these? But there were smaller cider bottles that are probably about 2.5 to 3 liters, and I was like, oh, I could use those for split batches to put like different flavors in. So I've cleaned those up and I've got them set aside. That's the plan. I haven't actually planned what recipe I'm going to split batch yet, but you know, they're there for
that's exactly what we're doing. We're doing that with mead. We're putting different flavorings in and seeing what happens. So that's fingers crossed. Yeah. In 2 years, it'll be delightful. So
listen, speaking of experimentation, I ran out of my dark chocolate with salt. So I've been drinking my IPA with my white chocolate. And actually, I want to tell you that it's delicious, because I think that this IPA is not in a bad way, but it's quite like grassy. And actually the white chocolate really rounds it and makes it feel taste more fruity. I don't know how that works, but it works. It's crazy.
Love it.
And I've tried my IPA with
all the chocolates.
The dark chocolate and my milk salty chocolate. And the salt in the milk chocolate, it just picks it up so good. So it doesn't have to be dark chocolate. It can be a salty milk chocolate as well. There we go. We're discovering as we go.
It all works. It all works.
And just do what tastes right to you. Like, don't be listening to there's no hard and fast rules on this. It's what's delicious.
Yeah. No, this is awesome. This has been super fun, Joanne. Like, I think we should start wrapping up here, but let's give everybody all of the various places that you are on the internet, because my goodness, I've never met a busier woman in my life than you.
Yeah, I know. I do it to myself, like, just in all the
places. I admire
places.
It, honestly, but my goodness.
Love Beer Learning has a website, which is lovebeerlearning.co.uk. You can come there. I've got a blog there. There's links to the podcast there. You can pretty much find all the ways out to everywhere else to find me on the website. I'm mostly hanging out on Instagram, and there I am at Love Beer Learning. I've got a Facebook page as well. I'm there. Come and say hi if you want to, but not people don't really come and say hi to me there. So I'm there. Come and say hi if you're on Facebook instead. I'm also on TikTok. The TikTok's going pretty well at the moment. Come and see me do silly little videos there. I'm on Twitter. I don't get through. We're on Twitter because some people were recommending the podcast on Twitter, but I don't really get Twitter. I've never really got into the whole beer Twitter thing. So we're there. If, you know, come say hi to me. I'll get the notification and I'll come and say hi back. I'm also on Pinterest, because apparently if you want to capture women, Pinterest is the place to do it. So we're on Pinterest trying to say hi to you all.
But you do have some lovely downloadables. You've got some like downloadable beer tasting sheets and things. That's great for Pinterest.
Yeah. So if you want to do it, linking nicely to Pinterest, if you want to do a beer and chocolate pairing like this, and you're not really sure how you want to do it, I have a beer and chocolate pairing kit of printables on the Etsy shop. And you can get to that through the website, or if you come to Instagram, it's in my link in bio. It's literally a kit with a guide from me telling you how to taste beer, how to taste chocolate, how to put them together, with some suggested pairings if you're not sure. There is a printable tasting score sheet. There's also a flight board, so you can have a nice little board, like printed out, put your glasses on it, put your chocolate on it, write in it what they are for your guests. this will go really well for if you want to plan something for Valentine's Day or a date night, or if you just want to have fun with some friends, this is a kit for you. We have beer tasting kits there as well. And I'm gradually building up pages for a beer journal. So let me know what things you want in a beer journal, and we'll be creating those and putting those in the Etsy shop as well.
Brilliant. Gosh, yeah. And everybody, this is one podcast to another, but please check out A Woman's Brew, because Joanne and Tori speak also every week about all sorts of different topics, and they interview guests and they're doing education, and there's so much going on. And I love the podcast. I've still got loads of episodes to catch up on because I'm never up to date, but I love listening to you.
I don't know about you guys, but when we started doing it, we were like, oh yeah, we'll put one out a month. And then we ended up putting out one a week. And like now we're like, okay, right, we've got to put one out once a week. But we're like, we have so many things. We've got brewers and breweries that want to talk to us. Sneaky, the next one may be out already once you hear this, but we've done one about cool ships that's really interesting. We've got some interesting breweries coming up this year that we want to chat to. We're going to go on the road. And we're going to go to some different places. If you want to work out your beer adventures and where you're going to go, there's an episode out about how to plan a beer adventure and recommendations for how you can do that. There may be a printable coming out for that, so follow the Etsy shop to see that. But all the things are happening in Love Beer Learning, so come and say hi.
Brilliant.
Joanne, you really are a woman of many talents. And you are so busy. It's amazing. I'm so thankful that you made I'm so grateful that you made time to chat to us today and take us through some.
It's been amazing.
Chocolate and beer. Who knew, guys? Who knew? I think I don't know about you guys, but that white chocolate and sour for me was the most like unexpectedly good thing I've tasted in such a long time. Incredible.
Totally. You don't expect it to just go so well together and to complement each other so well like that.
Delicious, delicious, delicious. All right, folks. Well, you know what? Let's sign off here. We're probably going to continue and have a bit of a drink after this. But, you know, for those who are listening and watching, thank you very much for tuning in. We are the Beer Ladies Podcast, and we release every Friday. And please come and follow us on the socials. We're mostly on Twitter, so not quite like Joanne. We're mostly on Twitter, not so much on Instagram and Facebook. We're there weekly, not every day. And please consider buying us a beer. That would be lovely. Because, you know, podcasts cost money and we like doing this. So, you know, let's do that. And otherwise, friends, we will see you all next week for another episode. Bye now.
Bye. See you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.